I'm eating toes right now. And
God, no, let's not talk about this. All right, let's move. All right, there's the cold open.
Hello, my name is Miles from The Amazing, and I'm on the first podcast. I've heard that this is actually officially the first podcast. No other podcast ever exists. Now, here with me, I have my two guests. I've got Joe, and I've got Lars from Norway.
Thank you very much for having us on your podcast, bud. I really appreciate it.
No, it's great. This is the one and only podcast.
This is really an honor.
My own podcast co-hosts are like, what the heck are you talking about right now?
I think that's a record. 30 seconds into the episode, someone in the chat asks, why are we muted? That's great. Every fucking time.
Because this isn't a large conference call. This is like a three-person...
Yeah, guys, this isn't a quarantine Zoom call. This is a podcast.
This isn't your mother's Zoom call, you know? Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though, I think it would be really funny just to have like 40 people just trying to talk at the same time for an hour straight.
We've tried that.
Oh,
I have a story for you on that one. Okay, so do you know who Senor Palo is?
Oh, yeah, no, he's a good friend of mine. Yeah.
I'm joking. I know that you guys are familiar with each other, but we had him on the podcast, and at one point, we tried to take just everyone back to the regular voice chat where it was unmuted, and it was this ungodly cacophony of just like a sea of people being like, hi, Senor Palo, notice me, and it was just, it was rough.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, everybody was screaming. It was screaming.
Never again. Yeah.
He's one of those creators that's like, that may not be as popular as perhaps like, you know, the All Ones Out or some of the bigger animators, but his engagement is like crazy high. Like one of the highest, I'd say, in the community. Easily.
Nah. And we're still having people come into the Discord server saying,
when's the Palo episode recording?
And it was like 8 months ago. They're still trickling in from some tweet or community post or something.
There's something weird with the Senor Palo episode, which is that, okay, so usually when we have people on the show, some people will see like the promo tweet or an announcement like a little bit late, obviously. So we get some trickle ins for about a week. But
maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, but for Senor Palo, for some reason, people are finding out about it like almost a year later somehow, and I'm not sure how. Like what? The last one was on, I think it was like April 30th or something of this year, and the podcast was back in July,
like less than a week ago.
Damn. Okay. All right. I think that's like the Senor Palo effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the community post.
Yeah.
That he put up on YouTube.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I think that's it.
Moz, what do you think is the Senor Palo effect? Like, how would you quantify that?
No, I think it all just comes back to the fact that he's got incredibly loyal, very driven fans to the point where any point of that he provides that allows for audience interaction with him directly, they'll take, because he doesn't really do audience interaction often except for his own streams, and even in his own streams he doesn't notice everybody because of just how many people there are.
Yeah,
right. So
yeah,
they just love him to death. Like, I know that for a fact when in one of his videos he made like a video about animation, and he kind of like roasts a lot of these storytime animators in it. He gives me a shout out at the very end, and I to this day, people, it's funny because the effect is either A, they'll just be like, oh yeah, you know, Palo was right, you're pretty decent, and the other side is like, Palo's wrong, you're a piece of shit, you know, like they just roast me, and I'm just like, all right, like I'm okay with it because attention is attention, but I, you know, that's just, I think that's just this audience, you know.
But we're not interviewing Senor Palo, we're interviewing you.
Yeah, stop trying to change the subject, man. Let's talk about The Amazing. Let's
Can
you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Moz, and I run an animation channel, and I am an animator by day and an animator by night. And so outside of that, though, other than the fact that I do storytime animation similar to the All Ones and Jane animations, I'm also a doctor in real life. I love movies and anime and TV. I've just watched way too much media in general. I've recently tried to expand my team out to alleviate a lot of the stresses that comes with managing a lot of jobs, which has been a bit stressful, obviously, as you can imagine, trying to go from just singularly working by myself with a few background artists to now a team of animators and everything like that. But whatever, it's been okay. It's been going okay. I'm curious to see how the audience will react to it, though. I am a little nervous because it's like it is similar to my style, but you can tell that it's not just me anymore. And I'm curious if when Jaden tried to do that, she got crucified for it. Whereas when James did it, a lot more people were accepting of it. Damn, Mad, we really be exposing me. Yeah, I do TikTok and other social media stuff on the side as well. And
I do TikTok too. So we'll have to talk about that at some point. Yeah. Should we do a clap sync, by the way, Lars?
Oh shit! Yeah, we should probably do that.
Hey, and I said
I'll go ahead and edit this out.
You know, like a liar.
Okay, guys, clap on three.
You guys in the chat too. Everyone clap.
Oh yeah, make sure to clap in the chat. 1, 2, 3.
That everyone's sending clap emojis. That's great. Okay, that's really funny.
Well, people are being nice, so we can line up their audio tracks later.
Yeah, yeah, because we're recording everybody in the chat too, from your living room or your bedroom or
Don't say anything incriminating right now. You're gonna get in a lot of trouble. Be careful.
Yeah, in the case of vapor in the chat from the bathroom.
Ooh, now everyone's gonna know. Yikes.
Simp.
Yeah. So we have eyes and ears all around.
That's right.
Putting that out there.
I think we're all used to that. The FBI agents are still listening, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, the NSA bastards.
They're also clapping with the podcast.
I heard a clap coming from my closet, actually, when we did that.
A clap coming from the Pentagon.
By the way, you've got quite the following. At the time of this recording, over 700,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're very talented, very entertaining YouTuber. Is there anything else that you attribute your success to?
Oh, man. That was a bit too many compliments back to back there. Goddamn.
I'm sorry. No.
Yeah, slow it down, Joe. Yeah, be careful. Listen,
Sorry. I'm coming on too strong.
Mm-hmm. Take me out to dinner first, my man. Come on.
give you some flowers. I'll bear that in mind next time. Sorry. Okay.
Well, let me answer the question, Joe.
I really screwed the pooch.
Damn, look at my man trying to be smooth over here. Next time, this man over here to catch it. Yeah, I can tell you've got game by that, man. That was too smooth. And I was like, oh, yeah, next time. It's like, oh, that's the second date right there. No,
I think that's the first person who's ever said Joe's has had game on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's a brand new one.
Wow, yeah, thank you. Now who's giving me? Now he's giving the other person compliments.
There you go, bud.
Wow, right. We're off to a great start.
No, it's once again, it's all about seduction. I think that's how I got up to 700K.
Yeah, it really is.
No, the real story is like, I don't know. It is a lot of luck. I won't deny that. Like, I was just there at the right time. Especially with how a lot of people don't believe that I'm friends with James still to this day.
Wait, why?
From the Odd Ones Out. The thing is either A, they don't believe it, like that I'm friends with him. Because I don't know. I guess like the subscriber difference is so large, they're just like, oh, you're not really friends with him, which is, I guess that's a viewpoint.
But you physically have videos with him.
Well, that's the thing, right?
No.
Like hanging out.
So that's the thing. The other side is that people think that I'm still, to this day, using him to gain subscribers, which is a very narcissistic and a little cynical way of looking at things.
Maybe he's using you to gain subscribers.
Exactly, he's trying to get the Australian audience. No, the thing is, like, the way we did become friends is just a testament to how YouTube is. It's just all luck at the right time at the right place. Back 4 years ago, there used to be this server called the Young Animators Club, in which it was a lot of people who were aiming to be animators. And it was like a centralized site where a lot of people could just sign up and they'd be on the website and a Discord server and you guys could just chat to everybody. Because back then the only short-time animators who were popular were James, Jaden, Speechy and Tim Tom, who was rising quickly. That's it. I'm serious. Like, there was something else. YT wasn't there yet. Rebecca Parham, Amy Ritchie, all of them, they weren't there yet. And so back then, a lot of the people who were aiming to become like that joined the server. Now, I guess I just didn't realize what young meant, you know, young animators club. Yeah, Domix and Sweezy as well, sorry. And they were all like 14, 15, and I was like a 19-year-old dude, you know, just in the chat full of these...
Just old as fuck.
Yeah, these children. And I'm just like, I don't know about that. But then randomly, as I'm just in the chat, just in the voice chat, just trying to have a conversation, James just joined in. And everyone freaks out. I'm just silent. I was like, whoa, what the heck? He's actually here. I thought it was a fake. And then he's chatting. And I'm just like, yeah, good day, James. And he just says, everyone, stop talking. Did somebody just say good day and just roast me for the next 10 minutes, you know? And I'm not one to take a roasting, so I just roast him back. And he's like, you know what? I like you. And then we chatted outside that, and it just naturally formed from then on. And yeah, now we've got physical videos together. And I guess people still don't believe that we're real friends. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that you in one of your more recent videos, if not the most recent, I believe you were you did a video with him where you
so we have this tradition where every time we meet up in person, because we've been friends for 4 years, but we've only met in real life 5-6 times, like every for VidCons. And we have this thing where every time we meet, we try to record something, whether it be on his channel or my channel. So this time it was my channel. I think next time we're already planning on his channel. I won't say what it is, but it involves dreams. So there you go. You know, a little first podcast exclusive information.
Ooh. You heard it here first.
Chat's going, yo, y'all almost kissed. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We almost kissed. But, you know, that's the meme. That's the meme.
I feel like there's something going on here. And I'm going to... So I've made an observation that you guys do this thing, which is kind of similar to what Ethan from H3 Productions and iDubbbz do every time they get together, which is that as an obvious joke, they're kind of like adversarial towards each other.
Yeah.
And what that ends up doing is that 95% of the audience gets it. Like, they obviously came up with this as like a story, and that they're trying to be like fake jerks to each other. But 5% of the audience just doesn't get it. Like, I bet there's some people out there who actually think when you slapped James in that video, that was an actual act of like intended aggression, and that like you guys have problems now.
I definitely got some comments. Well, I got a lot more funnier comments. Like in the first intro, I literally say like, if something interesting happens in the first 5 seconds, the video will do well. And he's like, yeah. And I slap him.
Oh, hi.
But then I didn't realize this at the time, but the slap happens at 6 seconds. So all the comments are like, yo, your video is going to do shit now. Like, and we're just like, and I'm just like, all right, you got me. But yeah, there were some comments like, whoa, does he actually hate James? But I think once they get past the first 5 seconds and see how we interact with each other, it is obvious that we don't hate each other. You know, we're just dudes, you know, just having a chat.
I think that's part of being a large content creator, is if you make some type of joke like that and let's say 1 out of 1,000 people don't get it and think that you're serious, but so many people saw it, it's like still like hundreds of people think that you're serious.
Yeah.
And
a big thing with this community, and I think Daft here probably experiences the most, but the animation community is very loyal, but also very quick to attack. Like, if you even critique and if you even breathe a negative way to some of the animators, in 2 videos ago, in my choosing YouTube over being a doctor one, I kind of make fun of James, Jaden, and Domix. You know, I kind of allude to calling Jaden a dumb Asian bitch, which is like an inside joke between Jaden and I, because we one time her, James, and I were hanging out and James kept dabbing all the time. And I was just like, bro, man, you're really hitting them dabs, huh? And then Jaden's like, as long as he's not hitting me. I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, dab, a dumb Asian bitch. And I just started laughing, you know? And so because it's like an inside joke between Jaden and I kind of wanted to put that in, but I also thought it was like a good generalizable joke where I'm just like, Jaden, what a dumb Asian. And then when it cuts when I say bitch and she's there like holding a gun, And a lot of the comments are like, good thing you didn't make fun of Jaden, and her fans going like, I'm glad that you praised her at the end or else I would have attacked you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, Def Pina just announced a new video in the chat at discord.t1podcast.com. Joe, where can people go?
discord.t1podcast.com.
Oh,
that's right, Joe.
Sorry, go ahead, Lars. I didn't mean to
tune into these episodes live, and you get to, you know, hear things first. Because it is the first podcast. Also, this episode is sponsored by Audible, as well as patrons like yourself. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit later. Moz, again, you keep shifting the focus of the podcast away from you. Let's talk about your stuff. Okay.
Ugh.
So
you caught me. That was a very intentional shift. I guess I just don't like talking about myself, but you know, I guess I just
really?
As in I just Yeah,
you do a story time YouTube channel, yes, where you talk about yourself.
But even that, it's like a very scripted, very much like a
okay.
I think of it more like I'm making a comedic video, not so much telling of my life story. I take my life story as the base, but then I add a lot of comedic moments. And one of the reasons why Pelo shouted me out is because I like adding skits to it. You know, I add visual gags. I add moments where it kind of takes away from the story to kind of have a comedic bit. Whereas a lot of other animators, they just tell the story straight with a lot of gags pertaining to that story.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like a nervousness thing and a little bit of like, I have like a little bit of an inferiority complex when it comes to this community because I've had a lot of people just outright tell me that I'm not big enough or that I'm not popular enough or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that kind of typical small YouTuber thing. And being friends with the number one animator of this community isn't that helpful either, because he does keep saying, like, he kind of roasts me a little bit in the nicest way, in a friendly way, but it does sometimes. I kind of lie in bed, I'm like, man, I really am just 1% of James' audience, huh? Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
I mean, you do have a pretty large audience. I mean, there's 700,000 people, yes, who wouldn't say that you're small.
Yeah,
but it is a good point that a lot of other large content creators have also shared that they don't feel like they're successful, even though they have large audiences and this and that. And I wonder if that's part of what causes people to keep trying to achieve more.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't feel like they've hit it yet.
Well, I think that's just like a perpetual imposter syndrome that every YouTuber will feel, right? Where it's just like, when you think of celebrities, including YouTubers nowadays, especially with how the younger generation views YouTubers, they're this unattainable celebrity status. When you think of Shane Dawson, PewDiePie, James, Jaden, they're just this untouchable figure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do become a YouTuber and you start making content, your idea of yourself never matches the idea you had of a YouTuber. And so this constant mismatch will always happen. And so no matter how big you get, because it's physically impossible for you to reach this godlike pedestal status you've put on YouTube, is you'll just always feel like garbage, you know? And I think that's like, I've kind of definitely had that affect me a lot. But you know, I guess I'll talk more about myself and what brought me here and how I got to 700,000 people, right?
Sure.
If you'd like to. I mean, don't feel like you have to do it for us.
There's definitely some interesting tidbits in there.
By the way, before you got started on that, I wanted to point out that I think one thing that I think sets your stuff apart is a lack of something that I've seen in a lot of other storytime animation channels, which is that...
Good content? No, sorry. That was too easy. I'm so sorry. That was like a low-hanging fruit that I had to take. All right, go for it.
I like it. So I think that there is somewhat of a tendency to tell a story and then force some jokes on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you don't really do that. I feel like you're better at making the story itself funny and the gags themselves like being relevant to the story. And there's a lot of visual gags and stuff, as opposed to just like telling a pretty mundane story and then just adding like these little forced little jokes on top of it. I see that a lot.
Like puns? Well,
that's really funny you mentioned that, because I actually, I feel like sometimes I force gags in, you know, like I sometimes feel like that. I see what I do get what you're saying. Like, I definitely try to enhance the comedic skits. I work a lot on those skits to land, and a lot of my inspiration comes from The Odd Ones Out and Ice Cream Sandwich. They do a great job of simultaneously telling a story whilst having skits undercutting a lot of it, and I kind of like how they do it. James talks about it in a chat, because he's actually a very smart guy when it comes to this kind of stuff, and what I try to do is like maintain the focus, right? So if I'm talking about the next video is about bowling, my rivalry that I had with my friend, and the sentence that I was saying was, oh, when I hit 19, my dad and I kept bowling, and he kept beating me in bowling, and I hated him because of it. And it would be very easy to shift from, for example, a scene of a birthday party and then a bowling alley, right? It would be easy because that's how the story goes. When I hit 19 years old, my dad and I went bowling, and he kept beating me left and right. But the focus of what I'm trying to say is that my dad was really good at bowling, and he beat me up. And so a lot of people perhaps would do birthday party and then bowling alley. But I think maintaining a focus on just the bowling alley, like what the actual topic is about, what the joke is about, it's like that's just something you naturally learn out with experience, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody does have their own sense of humor. My one's very chaotic, I'd say, very Australian chaotic sense of humor.
I'm going to draw a quick comparison here to Pyro Cynical, where one of the things he does well is that a lot of the gags he adds are pretty lame, but they're also like over really fast. Yeah. So it's like, it's really quick, and it doesn't just like detract from what he's trying to say. And I think that's really smart. I actually do that on this podcast a lot. I add a lot of audio gags in post, but they're over just like that. Mm-hmm. They're just something to just add a little bit of just disjointed chaos to the episode,
yeah,
as opposed to just like sidetracking it entirely.
Upside down chaotic humor. Yeah, I getcha. I think the fastest jokes are, I do like brevity. You know, brevity is the soul of wit. I of course. That being said, I always try to get inspiration from other storytime animators, because the number one tip you can give is look at what I don't want to say competition, but that is the right term, because we are competing for the people's attention. And so look at what your competition is doing and grab what you can. And Pants and Pajamas, shout out to her, one of my best friends. Her newest video had this amazing long joke. It was 20, 30 seconds in the middle of the video. And the payoff was so great. Like I can't even do it justice by describing it, but it's really, really good. And I think I might try something like that in the future as well, like a bit of a longer gag. But no, shout out to a lot of the animator friends I have.
Yeah, longer gags, you really, really need a good payoff for it to work.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
I also noticed a lot of Easter eggs in your videos. During the video choosing YouTube over being a doctor, you talk about your good grades in school while you're holding up a paper that says C+ written on it.
Yeah.
Which, do you decide the gags ahead of time, or do you do them while editing, or a combination?
Oh, I'm the most impulsive person when it comes to animating. I always like, as I'm animating, I hear the audio and I'll get like an idea and I'll animate it like just on the spot. I don't storyboard. I don't plan things out. It's very impulsive, very much on the beat. And so everything, the C+ there, once again, was very much, hey, I said good grades here. The focus is my grades. And so I'll just have a giant red C+ there just to kind of have like a dissonance. You know, what I'm saying and what you see is two different things. So, which might make people laugh. I don't know.
I think that's very funny. Mm-hmm. I think it worked well and it was very subtle. But witty.
I just noticed something vaguely sinister, by the way. When you made an announcement on your server for this, you said, if you don't join in, you have to eat toes.
Yes. And the best thing is that the reaction immediately was people saying, okay. People were like, we're okay. And then I clicked okay. So I guess I had to eat toes. I don't know. So
I'm eating toes right now. And
God, no, let's not talk about this. All right. All right, there's the cold open.
I have to eat toes. Nope, we're not going to talk about it. Okay.
Nope, let's move on.
Speaking of an act break, Joe, I think we should go ahead and talk about our sponsor.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast for a free audiobook today. That's right. Audible is the home to many classic titles, such as How to Win Friends and Influence People, as well as some others You know,
some others, as if it's not like the entire Amazon audiobook library.
The entire Amazon audiobook library is at your fingertips today.
Guys, Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free book. And that's not free as in you sign up for the trial and then you lose it if you don't keep the service. That's, you know, you don't have to pay them money in the end. It's literally just a free book.
Cancel the service, keep the book.
Or keep the service. They start at very affordable monthly rates, but your first month is free. Keep the book. Keep the service if you like it.
Keep the book.
AudibleTrial.com/T1Podcast. Someone in the chat says, what if we are deaf? Well, I have news for you. There are also physical books that exist that you can read in real life. So don't worry about that. But for people with ears, go to AudibleTrial.com/T1Podcast.
Wait, how did the person say, so they said in the chat, what if we're deaf? How would they know what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's true. So, Discord.T1Podcast.com.
Bamboozled. So you were talking about Pivot Animator, which you used to use and were mesmerized by, and I also used Pivot Animator as a young wee lad.
I love Pivot. Pivot's just how I started up, and it's so powerful. I think it's still there to this day. People can use Pivot.
Yes.
But I remember making like long form smooth animation on Pivot, you know.
Pivot's so cool. It really is magical. Just, you know, it's such a simple interface, and being able to create these little animations with colors and shapes, moving pictures, images from frame to frame, you know, animation.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's a great intro animation program for a lot of people who, I guess, don't want to make a final videos to post on YouTube, but more so just to understand how animation works and the principles of it. So good. Like, really, really great. And when I was 12, I was just using that left and right. Couldn't stop myself. Flash is a bit too advanced, my man. Like, if you want to get Adobe Animate, go for it. But it's very advanced for a 12-year-old.
So if you're listening and you're 12, just stick to Pivot.
Maybe that's not the right message to say. Like, don't even try, you little kid. Stupid kid. No, but so, like, well, go watch Jazz's tutorial if you want to actually learn Flash. There you go.
Okay.
I also noticed the Blue Yeti appears in a lot of your videos.
Oh, yeah. God, Yeti!
Is this significant in some way? The Blue Yeti for you?
The Blue Yeti is not significant, I guess, in terms of in the video, but it's significant to me in the fact that it's like a visual representation of the fact that you don't need amazing hardware to make good videos or make good content. That Blue Yeti is the when I started animation, I used an 8-year-old Blue Yeti and a 5-year-old Wacom tablet. You know what I mean? And I used both of them. I used the tablet for a year, and then I got a free tablet upgrade by Huion. And then I literally kept using the Blue Yeti for 3 years into my channel until this year. When I got myself a Rode Shure Dynamic SM7B microphone like that. And that's like the only upgrade I've kind of done in terms of audio equipment. And it's an amazing microphone.
Lars and I are both on Rodes.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Well, Shure is a different company than Rode, but yeah, the SM7B is a fantastic mic. It's actually really good for podcasting.
I sound like an idiot now.
Yeah.
Well, no, he originally said Rode Shure, so you guys are both stupid.
I'm not alone. It's not just me. This is great news.
Is it not Rode Shure? Like, that's what it says. Oh, no, it's Shure. Oh.
No, those are two separate companies.
I apologize. So I have the Rode arm on the actual tablet, like wrapped around it. So I just read it off Rode Shure SM7B. All right, there you go.
Well, that's where the confusion came from. I'm glad that this has come full circle.
I'm a fool.
I'm not glad that you look like a fool. I'm glad that we can share this foolishness together. And
well, exactly. And I think like that's why I like to add the Blue Yeti in all of my videos, because it's just you don't need amazing equipment. You really don't. Yes, it does help, but an artist will do better with a pencil and paper than a noob with an amazing mechanical pencil. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You gotta develop that skill first, you know?
Lars and I have both used Blue Yetis at various points as well, by the way.
We started on Blue Snowballs, actually.
Oh, nice.
Which is even worse. And yeah. I mean, it doesn't, the older episodes, they don't sound great, but they were passable at the time. You don't, I guess the point is you don't need $200 mics right off the bat. You can get by with something simpler. And it's really, this is something that we've talked about a lot on the show, which is that it is, Joe disagrees with me about 5% here, but I think it's like almost 100% about the creator and their personality.
Wait, I disagree with that?
You said you had some sort of disagreement with that at some point.
All right.
All right. Never mind. Okay. So, I think it's up there though. I think it's mostly about who is making the stuff and what they're making, and the sound quality can be subpar, but if it's still interesting, people will still want to tune in, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I get you.
To an extent, but
no, that's, I think that's completely fair to say, you know.
Mm.
I wouldn't want to hear like garbage quality like constantly, like, but if I to that point, if I, you know, if Nakey Jakey or Video Game Donkey were to use like a garbage microphone and video camera, I would still watch it because it's just their personalities are amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It would add to it, if anything. You'd say there's some reason why they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Well,
I think Donkey used shit mics for a long time, and it kind of adds to the charm of his videos, because he's got that kind of like, just like one of the gamers, one of the guys kind of thing going on.
Yeah, oh, you, and you had talked about a balance, but see, you did a video on medical school while being a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you had talked about a balance between the two, and I'm wondering if you had ever... as part of the balance, I'm wondering if you had ever interrupted the class in medical school to film some type of a YouTube prank, maybe to dismay the teacher.
No, I would never do that. And I'm not going to say that people who do that are bad people, but people who do that are bad people. Now,
say that. Yeah.
No. A subsequent question that people ask is that, do you do things on purpose to build a story for a video? And the answer is no, not really. I like to tell stories that happen genuinely and naturally. I don't force pranks. I don't force things to happen simply because of for content. That's just not how I operate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer that if you start with a point of genuineness, that will trickle down in your work, and the audience will be able to pick that up. You know, the only video that I crafted that wasn't very genuine was the video I did with James, and that video is one of the reasons why I blew up initially, like when early on, but also why I kind of never want to do collabs like that ever again. Where they just give lines and it's like, that's it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know,
makes sense.
I feel like one of my goals now is to make a video that surpasses that video in terms of views, because it's my most viewed video by far with 6 million, and it's got James in the title. And I'm once again, I don't have anything against James, but it is a personal thing where I want to be known for me, my own content, right?
Yep.
I don't want anymore somebody else's name on my channel as like the best video on my channel. I want it to be my stuff. I can get those views myself.
I 100% get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. At the same time, and I doubt you'll disagree with me here, the deck is stacked as it is, mm-hmm. and I don't begrudge people at all for using the tools they have in terms of their connections for boosting themselves. Like, I totally get that. I don't, like, if someone wants to collab with someone that's bigger or something, and it helps them gain some subscribers or some listens on a podcast or what have you, that's fine. Like, I never want to say that I think utilizing the resources that you have is bad in any way.
Yeah.
Especially since networking is a skill. So if you have, if you're good at networking and, you know, you're able to use that, then, you know, more power to you. But it's also completely understandable why you would want to build something of your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. It's very much like a case of I don't regret doing it. And as obviously something that I'm just like, It happened, and I don't regret it, and I understand it is what made me get to where I am right now. But would I like myself, my channel, to be known for my content? Yeah, I would. And I think that's why I do have a little bit of an imposter syndrome, a little bit of an identity crisis, because I just don't feel like people are there just for me. You know what I mean? Like, people know me as the guy that knows a lot of people, but perhaps not Maz the animator, Maz the creator, you know?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I feel like every content creator knows every content creator. Like, that's not unique.
Yeah.
Like, you were going through the list of the content creators that we've had on here on Discord before we started. Like, you knew like half of them. So it's just everyone knows everyone. So that's fine. I think I bet you most people who subscribe are subscribing because they like the content. I wouldn't be surprised.
I do have a story to share that has to do with that on TikTok. I used to post kind of these random videos and they didn't go viral. And I started posting videos at Disneyland and they went insanely viral. And I was the number one TikToker who did Disneyland videos. But I felt like people were watching my videos and following and liking, not for me, but because it's just because it was at Disneyland. So I didn't want to keep doing that. And, you know, what if I decide I don't want to do Disneyland videos anymore? Is everybody going to not want to watch my videos anymore? So I started peppering in other videos, too. And it was it was a real concern. So
yeah. I don't know, Joe. I feel like if you just made videos where you were at Disneyland, you're like, I'm Joe and I'm boring and stupid. Like, I don't think they would want to follow it. I think they definitely followed you because, oh, there's this interesting guy at Disneyland.
It was both, but I didn't want, I felt like the Disney brand was helping me, but I wanted to do it on my own. I didn't want the help, you know.
But, well, I mean, your username on there is still Disney Joey. But.
Well, I'm taking what I can get, but I don't want it.
That's funny.
How are you finding TikTok? Is it like you enjoying it?
TikTok's fun. Yeah, I started. So, all right. So,
by the way, to preface this, you guys are pretty similar in terms of size on TikTok.
Oh,
yeah. I just hit 2.5 million likes today, actually.
Hey, good on ya.
Last month. Thank you. Last month, I hit 10 million views for the first time.
10 million. But, dang, that's crazy. Okay,
yeah.
Holy.
That was my biggest month. That was completely out of the ordinary for me. But I usually get like between 1 and 2 million views a month on there. Lars is actually the reason I'm TikTok famous.
Why?
Really?
That? Yeah, I never told the story before. But so,
oh, I'd like to hear this.
When I got TikTok, when I got TikTok in about January 2019, Lars made fun of me for it and said that it was lame and
it was spite. Yeah, I remember that.
The vast majority of people saw it as this little rinky dink app for children. So I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I got famous on there just to tell Lars I'm TikTok famous? And so that's exactly what happened. Eventually, my friends are messaging me, Joe, is this you? But I just thought it was going to be like ironic. So thank you, Lars.
Yeah. Never underestimate the power of spite. Honestly, man.
I was determined just to go back to Lars and be like, look what I've done now. Not so rinky dink anymore, is it? You know?
And Joe, I mean, like, I feel like I'm in a situation where like our friendship is kind of like we're basically brothers. And as an older brother, like, I like what you've done, but I'm obviously never going to be impressed with you. So
no,
don't worry about that.
That's what keeps me fueled. To the perpetual wanting Lars to be proud of me, but he never will be.
He's like a dad.
Yeah,
his nickname is Dad in my phone.
Dang.
Yeah.
So this is getting real, but
call Dad. Do you mean your father or Lars? Like, oh God, dang. I mean,
one time I was texting Lars, and his nickname's Dad, and then my brother's like, "Oh, you're talking to Dad?" And I was like, "Oh no, that's what I call my friend Lars." And like, what? And I was like, "Don't worry about it."
A little awkward.
Yeah.
So, anyway, enough about me.
But enough about us.
Why don't we talk about you?
Yeah, we shouldn't talk about ourselves on our own podcast. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Well,
let's talk about Maz.
Yeah. Now that I've
Now
that I've talked all about how I want Lars to be proud of me, but he never will be, and that's why I call him Dad.
It's like a therapy session. You just like kind of vent like, Lars, I just want his approval, you know? Like,
the reason I need tens of millions of views on TikTok is because I need their validation. Let's not get into that.
But it's never enough, is it, Joe?
It's never enough. It's never going to be enough. Not until I can fill that void in my heart. So one day I'll find something, but let's move on.
You need Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So Moz, and we can edit this out if you need to be, but
why don't we edit out that cringy thing I just said?
No,
I'm just kidding. Well, you can leave it.
Okay. So, and I'm going to relate this to myself, which is that I looked it up the other day, and there are less than 1,500 people in America named Lars. So I'm very used to having an unusual name. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, what is Moz from? Is that from like another country, or is that just unique, or?
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people think Moz is like a fake name or a nickname, but that's just my real name. I don't know what to tell you. M-A-A-Z is my name. And the Mozing was actually just a stupid joke because I had a username just called Moz or like something else. And then a friend of mine was just like, you're like Spider-Man, like the amazing, but you're the Mozing. And I was like, oh, that's really funny. And I sent that as a username. But unfortunately, now the SEO sucks because you can't even search for that. You know, you search for the Mozing, you get the amazing. Moz is like an Arabic name. It's actually pronounced Ma'ad, but obviously in English, you can't Ma'ad. Do that. You can't do that at all. So it's just Moz.
With like a D sound?
It's like, yeah, it's like a D-Z-H almost, like a Ma'ad.
Ma'ad.
Yeah, English doesn't have that. Yeah. So
yeah,
so it's kind of that. Okay.
And so yeah, it just means like best friend. It's like an Arabic name. But no, that's my real name. I don't know what to tell you.
Joe, I think he's saying he wants to be our new best friend.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. So what now? So we go skipping in the fields of daisies now? Because
well, you did mention the date earlier, you know. So I guess you had to take me out to dinner. You know, that's the only solution you can do.
It's a good first start.
Wonderful. Wonderful. This is great news.
So you actually mentioned, by the way, that you're going to have kind of a soft ending of your channel once Probably. You get into your internship. So yeah. Is that going to be permanent or are you just going to take some time off to get through that?
So that's the thing. So the current plan is that I do want to end my channel at the end of this year. That's just what I kind of want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be a good ending to it. And the thing is, like, I was talking about having like, you know, my video that came out announcing that I have a year to do this is choosing YouTube over being a doctor. But when I end it, I might just do like choosing medicine over being a YouTuber, you know, and I kind of have like a nice bow on it at the end. But everyone's yelling in the chat. I'm sorry, but if I can formulate a team in which I can produce videos without having to just slave over the tablet and spend hours and hours every single day, it should be okay. And I'll be able to continue it on past 2021. You know, currently it's a bit time intensive because I need to train them and teach them how to draw like me and animate like me. But I'm hoping that, you know, everything continues on. And everything works out.
Or you can just go to like stick figures and just spend like 10 minutes animating.
Oh, you just go back to Pivot. Then you're good to go. Yeah, you like can just crank them out.
10 minutes for the whole video.
I just go back. Yeah. The thing is, I have puppets made in Animate. So it's not too bad to draw my own character. It's when it comes to drawing other characters that it takes a lot longer.
I also feel like I got a couple observations. Number one, I feel like your fan base would probably be okay with a bit simpler videos for a time. Like, I think if you can get a team together and they can put out stuff that's maybe not as complex as it was before and just get you to do the narration for it, I think they'll probably respond positively to that. But I also think that there's this thing where I feel like when a lot of creators say, oh, I'm gonna stop at this point, I kind of think like, who are you trying to kid with that? Because the drive to create is a very strong one.
No, of course. And I don't think I'll hard stop content creation because the entire reason as to why I started is because I needed to create something. What I might pivot to, and this is, I guess, the first time I'm publicly saying this, is that I am making another channel, which is more commentary based. You know, it's just me on the camera. I feel like that would be enough. And TikTok is kind of shown me this, but TikTok has really helped with a bit of burnout because I make a lot of weird content on there. And so I was just like, hey, if I can just make content like commentary stuff, I should be fine with that. You know, it's my sense of humor without having to die over a tablet. And so I might start this year just to kind of see how I enjoy it. If I don't enjoy it, then I just won't do it. If I enjoy it, I'll probably continue on with that instead of my animations. But even with my animations, I do suspect I'll still continue it, albeit probably like every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So when I say like I'll stop, I just mean stop in terms of like for YouTube, it's stopping. You know what I mean? Like I won't get that much traction. Growth will be slow.
Jesus.
But when I upload...
You're right there, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, quick question. So...
What's that?
I've noticed that a lot of people that do this kind of thing, or they do otherwise animation-based channels, they come out with content pretty slowly. And I know that you're making an exception to that this year with your goals for 2020, but I've always wondered, how do people survive in between, like with the lengthy gaps in between videos? How do you keep it afloat and everything?
On YouTube?
Yeah.
It's actually like a big... It's so YouTube has this thing for skit and animation channels nowadays anyway, where we could, I think the buffering time that I worked out with my partner manager is 2 months. So if you post within 2 months and you create this expectation to your audience that you're not going to be uploading all the time, but you will upload every time within 2 months, it's okay.
Okay.
Right? Like, because it's similar to channels like The Internet Historian or, you know, The All Ones Out, like channels who don't upload often, but when they do, it blows up, you know, every single time.
Yeah.
Because the audience expects that. It's not like a channel that posts weekly that which then goes to monthly, which would kill the channel because the expectation has now changed. Everybody understands that animation takes a while and therefore is not surprised when it takes a while, you know? That's just what it is. So that aspect I don't have to worry about. A lot of other creators and YouTubers that I am aware of don't. Yeah, Tabs is a great example of that. A lot of other creators, they post so frequently that they feel like they can't take a break. Whereas for animation, you know, we just have to work so hard for so long for one video. So there's no pressure of time like that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was really curious about that, so thanks for
answering
that.
Sounds like most of it is just setting the expectation.
Yeah, it's like if you have a schedule, you know, like if you have a, if you, for example, if you have a weekly upload at Sunday, 1 p.m., and the audience expects there'll be a video every Sunday at 1 p.m., and they'll just be okay with that, following that, you know? It's when you break it that they'll just be like, where's the video? What's happening? What's wrong with you? Are you okay? Yeah, so I don't give the assumption that I'll post more than monthly. You know, monthly is where I'm kind of aiming for 2020. The May's video is almost already done. I'm starting on June's video as well.
Yeah.
So,
do you make like a storyboard ahead of time and tell a story about that, or do you tell a story and then you make like a storyboard? Or I really don't know how any of this works.
No. I don't make storyboards ever. I've never made a storyboard in the last 4 years. Because I'm once again, I was just very impulsive. But that being said, though, I also worked it by myself. So the only thing I had to follow was my own mind, you know, and it was just me. Whereas now that I am hiring people, I have hired storyboarders to kind of help out with the process so that people can, so that the other animators can be aware of what to do and how to do it. But the process for me is that I kind of have like a list of ideas. Even now I have like 50 things on this list. I'm not going to run out anytime soon, at least for the next 3 years. And I take the one that I feel like would do well at this time. So this is the research phase. So I do things like go to Google Trends and I see how the trends are. So for example, I have a video that I want to do with Crunchyroll about My Hero Academia. But then I Google trended what is the best time for My Hero Academia, and it turns out it's around about June or July after the season ends and people kind of search up to see what else they can consume from My Hero, you know? So I might post up a June My Hero video, an anime or something, based on that. And then I make a script, and that script's a rough version. I tell a friend in a voice chat so that I can see what's natural, what's not natural for me. I add things, cut things, and then I send that script to James, Jaden, Rebecca Parham, all of my personal friends, and they have a read through. They add jokes, they take out jokes. They don't actually do anything. They just give me suggestions, and then I take their suggestions or deny their suggestions, and then I iron it all out to make a great script, and then I record it. And once it's recorded, I then split up that recording to my animators and storyboard artists. Well, that's the process now. You know, it's very new. And then they get to work, and I get to work. You know?
Okay, cool.
Speaking of that list that you mentioned, and you don't have to spoil what it is if you got one, but I'm curious, do you have a story in the pocket that you think can take over that video you did with James in terms of views?
Yes. Yes, I do. But it's the thing is, the videos that will do well is either A, videos that will do well in terms of our audience, or B, videos that will do generally well because of how weird interesting the story is. I have a story of a senior eating a human body, but it's like really bizarre, gross story. It's so bizarre, and it's not my story to tell, so that's why I haven't made it. But I know for a fact, if that were to be animated, that would just
you should just steal it. So I'm just kidding, just joking.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I'll steal him. I'll eat a body right now. just like eat myself.
I
yikes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Dark.
All right, what?
No, that's I have. I don't have any other. I don't know. I know the thing is, like, the story that does really well on my channel, other than the James one, was like the psychopath, the stabbing my brother. You know, like the weird and wacky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I just can't predict what will do well or will not do well. That's just sometimes difficult for me.
I have back to TikTok real quick and YouTube. I have a question that kind of it's kind of a comparative question. And I feel like YouTube is more centered on an individual content creation per channel, and TikTok is more following trends and being part of the overall culture and what's trending that day and being part of the meme engine. Would you agree that YouTube is more individualistic and TikTok is more like collective?
I think TikTok and YouTube are actually more similar than a lot of people give it credit to. Even with YouTube, there are people... Yes, I do agree with that generally, but the specifics of it is that in YouTube, there are channels that perhaps are not individual, but are still very popular in terms of just people watching it, right? So I think it's because, you know, I watch a lot of commentary animators. I watch a lot of, like, Video Game Ducky, Naked Jakey, video essay kind of stuff. But sometimes I just like watching random videos from whoever, because that's just what I want to watch. You know, it's like, oh, why Lily Singh's new show sucks. I'm like, okay, I'll watch that. Or like, oh, boo, 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 boo. And I'll just watch random stuff. And same with TikTok. Yes, there's a lot of generalizable funny content, but there's also creators like Toonie McNudy, Straw Disney Hat Joey. Dan, Nice Michael, Illusion Music. Yeah, Disney Joey, my favorite dude ever. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You heard it here first.
You're just gonna take that clip out of context and be like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot of creators on TikTok as well that you just recognize their face and style, and you're just like, oh yeah, I like them.
All right.
I don't know. That's just my opinion on it. But I do agree, TikTok is more generalizable, YouTube is more individual. But that's the name of the game. In TikTok, you are fed content. In YouTube, you choose to which content you want to eat, you know? So
Related question.
Yes.
Do you think TikTok has a shelf life?
No, I think TikTok's here to stay. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Vine had a shelf life because they just had no good monetization system. And, you know, rightfully so, it died. I think TikTok not only fixes the problem of flexibility for Vine, a lot of creators that I was aware of, they didn't like the fact that it was just 6 seconds, no other freedom, you know? TikTok fixes that by allowing for as short or long as you kind of want, you know? As long as it's under a minute. And it also fixes the monetization problem because TikTok is money. It is built with money. It is so much money that I am shocked that I got like sponsors for TikTok. It's insane. So I don't know. I think because they have money, because they have freedom for creators to create good content, they're turning their name around before, like, because similar to you, Joe, I used to, I got on TikTok ironically. I had no intention of doing it seriously. No intention at all.
You also got on there to impress Lars?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just wanted to spite him as well.
The power of spite.
Yeah. The power of spite compels you to create content.
You know, Mars instead of Lars. So I made the TikTok. And it, you know, it just did well, and I enjoyed it. And now TikTok's gone from this kind of meme-y, negatively looked at platform to a begrudgingly accepted, like, yeah, this is this platform is good. I still don't like it, but at least it has good content. And I think that's like a very, very impressive feat to turn around Musical.ly and TikTok's brand rep.
Yeah.
To at least, oh, this is acceptable and funny now. To the point where when Byte came out or Vine 2. People were like, why do we need that? We've got TikTok. And it's like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yes. And
I agree, Mad V.
Fuck, what was I going to say?
No, it's like influenced music culture as well. Every hit song is from TikTok. And dude, have you heard of TikTok moving into album, like becoming a record label now?
Oh, no.
That's so funny.
No, because
really?
Like, because what's happening is like, so I'm not sure if you heard Benny Super Lonely. I know you fucked up. I'm just a loser. You know, be weird.
Yeah.
So that song was made by a Kiwi New Zealand artist, and she signed it off to TikTok. And what TikTok did was that it propagated all of the TikToks that use that audio, so that it was in people's consciousness, and it got like number one or number two on like Australia Top 50, and it's worldwide trending. And TikTok is now using their platform to influence the music industry, and it's like, holy crap, they've really played that game well, because it's happening. You know what I mean? Like,
wow, yeah, that is crazy.
The long con. When Mars is dropping, Mars is, I'm a nerd for this kind of stuff, and I love this kind of garbage.
Speaking of the chat at discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Someone did mention something a second ago, and I have to ask, Raid Shadow Legends, why'd you do it, man? Why'd you do it?
Well, primarily because the amount of money they were offering, and I don't mind getting into specifics, but they were offering 5 digits and high, like pretty good 5 digits. It's not just like 10,001, like pretty good. And with the economy crashing in Australia, the USD to AUD conversion was fantastic. And I hired 8 or 9 new people on my team recently, and there people are expensive, you know, animation is expensive. Like, I don't want to say too much in terms of numbers, but I've had to pay thousands of dollars for my previous videos just in terms of background art. And so now that I'm hiring animators, I need money to pay them, you know. And so Raid was offering that money that so that I don't have to accept them anymore in the future. And so I was like, okay, I'll do this one time thing. And I would not have, even despite that, despite the fact they were paying me to pay my employees, I wouldn't have said yes had they not had the fake advert promo that they were doing. They gave me this hilarious sponsor about gamer oil. And I laughed at the idea of there being an essential oil that smelled like kill-death ratio. That made me laugh so much for like weeks. And I was like, all right, this is funny. I could meme it. And so I did it. And admittedly, I gave them 3 or 4 drafts, and because I was too ironic on them, I was like, Raid. And I was doing things like pretending I had rabies. I was like, Raid, Shadow. You know, like I was going all full on. Because in the previous video on the doctor choosing doctor over YouTube or YouTube over doctor, somebody says Raid Shadow, and I throw him in a shredder. I kill him, right, in the video. And I was good. I had it so that he came back and he's like, Raid Shadow Legends, like actually doing it this time. And but they didn't like it. They thought I was being too ironic and they wanted me to be more serious. And I was like, okay. And I really did try to push the boundaries as much as I could. And similar to how Internet Historian did. But they were really clampering on what I did.
By the way, Joe, I think that should bring us to our final sponsor of the episode, Raid Shadow Legends.
Gamer oil.
I'm just kidding. Let's go ahead and move on.
That would be so funny. That would be so funny.
By the way,
funny.
After we just kind of shat out stealthily for the last 5 minutes. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I remembered what I was going to say a minute ago about the mainstreamness of TikTok. And I'm just going to say it really quick because we've moved on. But you know it's become mainstream because now you're getting IMs on Facebook from your boomer friends about in their TikToks. Your boomer friends are sending you TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you been getting this, Lars?
Oh,
Lars. Have I been getting messages with boomer TikToks?
No, boomers sending you your boomer friends sending you TikToks.
I don't really have any boomer friends, Joe.
Damn. All right, so
moving on. that's what I was gonna say.
Left out to dry.
It's fine. You know, people in the chat say I have. People in the chat are validating my existence. So.
All right. Yeah. Someone has to, I guess. No. Okay.
I getcha. That said, I'm choosing not to do sponsorships. I think that's a very valid way of going about it. James and Jaden, they vehemently refuse sponsorships. Like unless it's on their Instagram, which I think they've done. But it's because I do understand the creative integrity being sacrificed in that video. But the thing is, they're also coming from the point of being successful at the point after Adpocalypse, because they were very successful before Adpocalypse happened. And so they have enough from AdSense to be able to pay their employees, where currently I'm not up to that level yet where I can just pay everyone just with AdSense, you know? So I need to play it smart. I need to get the money as I can to hire as many people and hopefully make more videos.
Yeah. You need more clickbait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what you do. Mm-hmm.
Don't take his advice.
I'm just kidding. I don't really have like. I was just gonna say, make the title like
just
like,
stab someone, like murder someone, like I killed someone? You know,
I killed someone. Yeah, exactly like that. And then and then the video just doesn't even like at the very end. You say no. I was just kidding.
Literally the first word is no. I didn't.
The thing is, I do have stories that I think would do well. I have a story about fainting during a surgery. I have a story about. Going on a 12-hour hike and then permanently destroying my knee and, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a lot of good stories that I feel like would do well.
A 12-hour hike.
Yeah, that was awful. And the thing is, I'm not fit for cardio. I work out in the gym, you know, so resistance-wise, I'm fine, but cardio, I'm not. And that was garbage. And it was pouring rain and there was so much. And the great thing about that video in particular is that I vlogged throughout the hike. And so I've got video footage of everything I'm going to talk about. Like there would be plateaus on the mountain and they would just look so different. Like one of them was mist covered. One of them was like emerald as heck. And it's really, really great. But there's also parts where I'm just like, I hate this. I can't wait to just like edit it all together. But with all animation ideas, it's just a matter of finding the time, you know, that's it. It's easy for me to say that I want to do it, but, I just need to be able to sit down and make that content.
Do you have a favorite video that you've made?
Yeah, my favorite video is still probably, I think it's probably the choosing the doctor of a YouTube one, you know, most recent.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like the TikTok one as well because of just how absurd that journey is. I made a video about how I gained my subscribers on TikTok and how all the crazy nepotism and connections that just happened to get me to where I am and how I got that tick and everything. I also do like the duck. I made a story about how my pet duck was killed by another duck and then I killed that duck. So that's a pretty fun story. It's one of the oldest stories I've made, but it's still one of my favorites.
Sorry to hear about your pet duck.
No, it's okay. Rest in peace, Mr. McQuackles, you know. So there you go.
That's a good name though.
Yeah, I know, right? but I think that's probably my favorite videos.
Would you describe yourself as a Norman?
What are you talking about, Joe?
What is a Norman?
Norman, a long form of normie.
Oh no.
Oh God, no. I am not a Norman at all. I actually am, I don't want to say what I dabble into, but you know, 4chan, is a site that I would never go to ever in my life. Duh, obviously. But yeah, probably not. Probably not a normie.
Just curious.
No, it's okay. Right. I'm like very. So that's where a lot of my chaos comes from. Is the fact that
I do have a very inherently dark sense of humor, and I've seen a lot of dark things in the hospital. You know, a lot of death and injury and morbidity, and so I'm kind of messed up. but I kind of veil it. That's why
I think my content, what I intend for is this very kind of family-friendly content with this veil that's like a veil covering just the dark garbage that I am underneath. You know what I mean?
Piece of, you know. Yeah.
Piece of trash. No. Yeah.
I feel like I was reading somewhere that you describe yourself as an extrovert.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm absolutely an extrovert. I love chatting. I love going outside and meeting friends. And this entire corona business really be ruining that. But that being said, the thing is, flying sake, I can't be edgy or dark publicly because, you know, it just doesn't fly, really. Like, I can't say a lot of the jokes that I say with friends online. I do say it in live streams and stuff like that. But I just have to maintain a kind of brand friendliness. I'm absolutely extroverted, which is I do stand out amongst the others because a lot of the other animators are introverted inherently.
The others.
My younger brother watches the examples. Yeah. The thing is, when you go to VidCon, when I go to live events or touring, it's incredibly obvious how extroverted I am because I get more and more energy the more people I meet. Like when I do my meeting greet, I'm like a battery that gets charged like over time. I love it. And by the end of the meeting greet, like 3 hours in, I'm just like, oh, I'm like bursting with energy. Yeah, I know, Mad Weeb. I see your picture with me and I appreciate it.
Interesting, Joe, by the way, because I think our last guest before this was one of the most introverted people I have ever talked to in my entire life. So it's an interesting contrast.
Who was it?
It was Nyaners.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Oh, you're familiar with her?
Yeah, I'm familiar with their content, but okay. I don't know them personally.
She's so nice. She's such a good singer, too. Mm-hmm. Her album. I'm both introverted and extroverted.
By the way, I'm not saying that introverted equals bad and extroverted equals good or the other way around. They're just different personality types.
Yeah.
Do you feel like being an extrovert gives you a benefit to content creation or, I mean, I'm assuming networking at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, networking, definitely. I do have this thing where I'm much funnier in person or when chatting to than I am in my videos because of just how I am, because in person I always bounce off of people, and I can bounce off of the person I'm talking to really well, and I don't know, my body language, I just talk with my hands a lot, whereas in videos, because it's scripted, it does favor a little bit of introversion, you know? Like in person, James is very awkward, like very kind of dorky, whereas in videos he's hilarious, you know? James is really funny. And I think, like, because by that aspect, I feel like it is a little negative. But I have the last 3 years, I have been trying to figure out how to kind of turn that around. You know, I've kind of what I do now. That's why I record my script with a friend in a voice chat so that I can see how I would tell the story naturally. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, I can take this inflection. I made this joke naturally. I made this. And I incorporate that and so that it becomes more conversational as to how I am. And so I can be a bit more chaotic, you know?
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Record it with a friend.
Just a little side note, by the way. Speaking of VidCon, it's kind of a bummer because we actually had plans to meet up with Alyssa at VidCon this year. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Womp womp.
We getcha. And the thing is, like, Australia, VidCon Australia and Abu Dhabi is canceled, and I was invited for both of them, so it feels bad, you know.
We can have our own VidCon. We could just have, like, a voice call and call it VidCon.
There you go.
The first VidCon.
Oh, there you go. It sells itself. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we'll sell tickets for, like, $100. It'll be, like, a three-day thing, which we'll just leave the voice chat open for 3 days and, like, call it VidCon.
COVID-Con?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Guys in the chat, would you spend $100 on a 3-day pass
to go to
for
COVID
unlimited
con?
Voice chats?
I'm seeing a lot of yeses, a lot of nopes.
Like unlimited voice chats with the animators and first podcast, and we just kind of like walk in and say hello to everyone.
Mm-hmm. And nope. Then you walk out. Yeah.
Everybody in the chat saying they do it for like $100. What about like $600? But if we, I just want to know what.
Start the bidding at $100. Go up from there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to know how much we can get away with charging. I want to charge as much as possible.
What do you mean get away with, Joe? That makes it sound like bamboozlers.
I'm not bamboozling anyone, but if it costs like $6,000, would you guys still do it?
I don't think they'd
like
$6,000. Someone says, sorry, Joe, I have a budget. Yes, please keep your budget. All right.
I'm just trying to get a good, I just tapped my nose onto my mic. I'm just trying to get a good view of, I can't believe anybody thinks I'm serious, by the way, obviously. But
all right.
How many creators are we talking about? Like one or two?
Like, just... like maybe three. I don't know.
Three at the very most.
Including Joe and I. So, you know, like.
Yeah, me, Lars.
No, just
Lars.
You, Joe. I don't think I want
just,
to know.
Just Joe.
Me and maybe like one other person. Daft Pina.
All right.
You get Daft Pina in the chat and you're just going to have Peter Griffin talking the entire time.
By the way, Moz, I know that you have a thing to get to relatively soon, so maybe now would be a good time to open it up to live questions.
Oh, go for it, my man.
Okay. And Craig petered out on us, so I'm going to go ahead and restart him 1 second.
Oh, whoa, that's bad.
While you're doing that, Lars, why don't I...
Now recording.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. So if you have a question, and by this, I mean a good question, not a...
Like what inspires you, not like that. Yeah. Basic ask. If you guys have a good question and you guys have a good mic.
Type five.
Oh, so it's like a voice question. Oh, yeah. What the heck? That's crazy.
Changing it up today, Lars. It's normally eight.
Long Schlong, you're unmuted.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Long Schlong, okay. Love it. Nice.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Mars. Hello, people listening to the first podcast.
Hey.
This is Long Schlong speaking right now. And hi, Mars. How's it going, bud? Been a while.
Yeah, it's going pretty swell, my man. What about you?
I'm all right. Anyway, my question, Sue. Australia. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So I've heard that it's very dangerous out there because there's a lot of stuff that wants to kill you. How often do you stumble across that stuff?
It's actually like not as common as people think it is. People like to say snakes and spiders, and spiders, most of them are harmless unless you're going out into the bush. And if you're going out into the bush, you should just expect to die.
I think the most scary and dangerous part of Australia is the gimpy tree. I'm just saying.
The gimp, as well as the drop bears, they're the pretty harmful ones. Please don't go into a forest with the drop bears in there. The gimpy tree, obviously, that's like that. I don't need to tell the dangers about that, but just stay out of the forest, stay out of the bushes, and you'll be fine in Australia.
Cool. Just stay out of the forest. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind.
All right. Thanks, Schlong.
Easy peasy.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming on and asking your question.
Thanks for your long schlong question, my man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, now get out of here. All right, so
long schlong's a he often comes on and asks questions. They're always winners.
Yeah. Also, he's got that very soothing voice, so we try to get him on. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me. There's so many people typing five. Okay, Professor Dominic, you're one of our patrons. We'll go ahead and unmute you.
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Joe and Lars, hello, we meet again.
Hey.
All right.
Hey, how's it going?
Mars, I got a simple question. I think this might be just a question that I'm going to be asking the people that I see on here. Is do you have an opinion on a game series that I've been on recently called Danganronpa?
I may not have played that game, so I don't know. I have heard really, really like mixed things about it. I've had friends who love it. I've had friends who hate it. So no opinion for me. I haven't played myself. But that being said, I do like your profile picture, Jotaro.
Thank you.
Yeah, we stand.
Yeah.
Part four, best part. Come on, let's be
honest. Part four, Jotaro. Give love to the dolphin boy. Am I right?
Amen. All right, good stuff.
Yeah, I'd say. Well, I'm actually on Danganronpa 2 so far, but if you're familiar with Ace Attorney, I'm sure most people here are familiar with Ace Attorney.
Love it.
It's one of the reasons why I got into Danganronpa is because I loved Ace Attorney, which, except the fact that it's a bunch of high school students that are forced to murder each other.
Yeah, no. So Ace Attorney.
Yeah, except the pacing for the first game specifically is worse. Especially when you get into the... That's one thing I love about the first Danganronpa game, and what I love about the second one so far is because you get very invested to the characters. Most of the story behind it is quite interesting. There's a few plot twists as well The soundtrack for it is amazing, but one thing that I do have an issue with is its pacing. It's worse than Ace Attorney, actually. Oh. So that's going to take some time to get used to, but for the most part, they're both really good. I'd recommend it. I'd recommend you play them if you ever find the time to. They're all on Steam, so like you, yeah, like a 1.2 Reload, which is basically remastered 1 and 2. Then I recommend you watch. Apparently, the third installment of Danganronpa is an anime, which I'm going to be watching after I finish the second game on Funimation. And then there's V3, so I'd definitely recommend you, if you ever find the time, I'd recommend you check out Danganronpa. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
All right.
Thanks, Professor Dominic.
Thank you for letting me ask.
Thank you.
Appreciate
also,
it.
Also, guys, go check out Professor Dominic on YouTube. It's spelled exactly how you would expect. He does Danganronpa content. So go check it out.
Easy. All right.
Okay, I think we have time for one more.
Awesome.
If you guys have a question, let's do this. Type out your question and we'll pick the best one. Several people are typing. We'll give them some time. In the meantime, Joe, cue the Jeopardy music.
Cue the Jeopardy music, Lars.
So I'm going to give this last one to Eli Tried because he had a good technical question about drawing in particular. So what's go up, ahead, Eli? Bud.
Hey.
Hey.
So I was wondering, how do you draw hands?
Introduce yourself.
Okay. You come on the show. You don't introduce yourself.
Sorry. I'm Eli Tried.
No worries. Okay.
Not really used to this whole thing.
Welcome,
but...
on. Welcome. Welcome. Oh, we're just messing with you.
So how do you draw hands so well?
Do I?
Hey, that's the one thing I've noticed.
Yeah, so the thing is, I guess I don't draw hands anymore in my videos, like the newer ones. But I actually really like hands because I'm a big fan of anatomy. I want to be a surgeon. And so I've drawn a lot of hands and eyes in my real life work just simply because, you know, that's just how it is. And so I guess practicing to draw real life hands made it easy to draw cartoon hands. Those are really easy to draw for me, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's the old age old adage of practice makes perfect, but that seems like a crappy answer. So I'd probably recommend you look at a lot of references of anime hands you like. If you just Google image search hand reference sheet anime, you'll come up with a lot of great examples for it, and people have amazing references, and you can use those to draw by eye and practice every day. And I'm like, sure, you'll be really, really good at drawing hands afterwards, man.
Thanks for the advice. Last time I tried to use references to draw a rabbit, and it ended up looking like a kangaroo, though. So
that's the thing, man. It's like it'll always start off looking kind of janky, but it's all about just trying every single time and seeing where you went wrong and trying to identify your weakness and correct that weakness. And that's just what it is, man.
Yeah. Keep at it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Eli.
Thank you for coming on. I want to point out, or just stick to drawing kangaroos, since it sounds like you have a natural
yeah,
talent.
There you go.
You're naturally good at that.
All right. Thanks for coming on. Okay, so one last question from the chat. It was really only one that was amusing. It is, what's your favorite Australian snack?
Ooh. Let me think. I have a lot of favorite New Zealand snacks because New Zealand's better in snacks than Australia, but no, it is what it is.
Exposed. Yeah. Wow.
No, it is what it is. Like LNP, Cookie Time, Pineapple Lumps, those are Hershey's bars, dude. Not Hershey's, sorry, Whittaker's bars. So those are so good. I do
pineapple
like
Pineapple Lumps?
Pineapple Lumps are.
Pineapple Lumps?
What is that? Like a chunk of like pineapple?
Pineapple, kind of marshmallowy kind of candy, covered in chocolate. Well,
does sound good.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
What is Vegemite?
It's like yeast extract. You put only a tiny bit of it on with a lot of butter and cheese on toast, and it's fantastic. I love it. Fairy bed's okay.
Yeast extract.
Yeah, all the best foods in the world are the ones where you only put a little bit on it and you smother it with everything else. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's like an extract, so it's very, very kind of strong, you know? So it's like tomato paste. You don't put like spoonfuls of it. You put a tiny bit because it's paste, you know? It's like concentrated. So it's okay. Concentrated spread. So, but it's still, but the thing is, if you're a true blue Aussie like me, you don't even need butter or cheese. You just eat it straight. And that's what I do. I love that garbage.
I imagine that you can put it like on your chest if you have a cold and it'll exactly. Like Vicks, VapoRub. Exactly. Am I in the ballpark?
No, that's exactly how you do it.
It's a VapoRub?
Yeah, yeah. So you actually put it underneath, like inside your nose whenever you have a sickness, you know, like a yeast.
Well,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, you put it on like an infected area.
It's like a medical advice thing. That's what I tell my patients, you know.
Disgusting.
Wow. Oh my God. You heard it here first.
God. Well,
the medical advice podcast.
Australian snacks, though. I don't know. There's not much I like. Tim Tam's probably the most famous one. Oh, no. Wait. Lamingtons. I love Lamingtons. I take it back.
Okay.
You guys have some famous coffee chains, don't you?
Yes. The coffee is brilliant in Australia. But Lamingtons are where it's at. They're so good.
Cool. What's different about the coffee there?
It's just like because America tends to, you know, I don't want to roast y'all too much.
No, let's hear it. Let's hear it. What do we do wrong?
Sugar is just everything. Everything is sugar. It's just, oh my, I couldn't eat broccoli without you guys putting like a syrup on it. I was like, what the? I'm trying to eat broccoli, man.
You're right. We're overly sugared.
I have never heard of broccoli with sugar. I think that's fake news. I'm sorry.
No, I literally had it at VidCon. Like I physically almost gagged. It was so disgusting. I don't know where we were. We were like an IHOPs or Denny's or something. I don't know. It's weird. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah. So in Australia, yeah, we don't tend to use sugar. We very much take pride in trying to get like the most authentic coffee experience that you can. And we have all these weird mixtures of it, like macchiato, mochaccino, and all these weird and wonderful, crazy combinations of coffee, chocolate, milk, and cream. And it's you know.
Well, that sounds nice. I'm a big coffee fan. I tried to make whipped coffee the other day, but it didn't really turn out.
Oh, whipped coffee is delicious. Delicious. But it is hard to do, though. Like, admittedly.
I used too much water, and I didn't have any sugar, so it didn't whip. So I need to try it again. I got sugar today, actually. So I'll try it again with less water and sugar, and it should whip.
Yeah, hopefully.
Speaking
in the blender.
Speaking of hostile comparisons between countries, by the way, what happened with you guys? You guys have overtaken us in terms of the obesity rate. What?
Oh no! I think New Zealand took it now. New Zealand took that. So
we're really wow.
I think New Zealand, Samoa, like one of those Samoan countries, took over it. But no, yeah, it's I don't know. I just don't know. I think it's because we've taken the American kind of approach of just eating a lot of fast food. And not enough exercise. And so
you learn from the best.
We need to loosen our belt.
We learned from the best and then just added on to it. So we improved what you guys perfected, you know?
Mm-hmm. We need to catch up to you guys. It sounds like that's a pride of honor for us.
Well, you guys caught up in the corona cases. So I guess you guys got one thing going, you know?
Well, yes, we do. We still have that.
Also, California is actually doing really well comparatively because our governor did a big shutdown. I don't want to talk about Corona too much because every podcast talks about that, but yeah.
Why don't we spend more time talking about Vegemite? I feel like we could do a whole episode on
it. How about this? So, are you aware of the Great Australian Emu War?
Yeah. Look, I'll take the L. Every Australian takes the L when it comes to the Emu War. It's like an instant win card. If you're ever fighting against an Australian, you just raise that card and no Australian is going to be like, yeah, you're right. You know, yeah, you're right. You know, like leave all the Australians are like, leave us alone. Stop. Like, you know,
it's just so interesting.
I've heard about it. It's it was like there were too many emus or something.
Yeah, and the army kind of rallied up to kill as many emus as possible, and then we lost. we lost against emus.
It's an invasive species?
Yeah, it was more so that we just couldn't catch up. They're fast, and so we just physically couldn't kill them, and so we lost because we just couldn't kill them, so, you know.
Wow.
So are they still a problem today, or what's going on?
I don't know. I don't think Emi Wars is stopped. Mm-hmm. They just fast and we just let them live, you know? I think that's what it is.
you just surrendered. Yep. This is okay.
That's speed behind them, you know?
Yeah. I do have one more sort of like an actual question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's call it a wrap after that though, Joe.
Do you have any advice for people still trying to figure out what they want to do career-wise? Since I know that that's something that you've spent, obviously, time thinking about.
Yeah, look, man. Long Song Silver, that's right. Like, there was an entire subcategory of bounties on emus and everything. Yeah, but with regards to advice on career choices, that's difficult because with medicine, it wasn't particularly what I wanted to do. But it was once I got into it, I realized that I really did enjoy it a lot. And I was good at it, you know. Similarly with content creation, animation, there wasn't a calling to me for animation. I just started doing it and I ended up enjoying it, you know. I think the starting point of both of those, though, is the fact that, A, I recognize that a lot of what I was seeking for, like for medicine, I was very good at kind of the analytics when it comes to medicine. My parents are both doctors. And they gave me some practice tests and I was good at it. And then I decided to go into medicine. So A, it's like if you're good at something, it might be worthwhile kind of pursuing that in the long run. And B, especially if you like doing it, then that's an obvious choice as to what to do. Please pursue what you like and are good at. But B, if it fits the criteria of what you need right now, like similarly with YouTube, It fit a lot of the criteria of what I was searching for content creation, and then it ended up being perfect, you know? So I guess like be logical with it. Don't do something you enjoy as a career all the time, because for example, I enjoy eating mangoes and I'm not going to make a career out of that, you know, unfortunately.
But you're good at it.
No, I'm great at eating a mango. I will destroy mangoes, you know, but if I make a video, a 10-minute video of me just eating a mango, you know what? Actually, knowing my content, I probably would. That probably would do slightly well. Dang it. I hate
it. The chat is supportive of this, by the way. The chat thinks that you should go this direction. Maybe medicine isn't for you after all, and
you
it's mangoes.
Mango eating, it is, you know? I'll make a April Fool's video with eating mangoes. There you go.
When I eat a mango, I cut it in half long ways, and then I slice it and dice it a couple times until I have like a grid and you flip it inside out and you just munch. You just that mango.
That's
meat.
A very Western way of eating it. Like the very kind of Eastern way is you slice it as close to the seed as possible on all sides. And then you just like take the slices and eat it like a watermelon. You know how you eat a watermelon slice, like just as is, you don't dice. Yeah. You just eat it like the slice.
That seems like it would also work. Yeah, and probably be less messy.
It's pretty messy, admittedly.
Oh. Yeah, you don't eat. Yeah, I mean it's not a neat fruit. It's a mango. You know,
definitely.
So Lars, how do you eat your mango? You haven't weighed in on the mangoes yet.
Yeah, because you don't need strategy for this, guys. It's just a fruit.
The thing is, what I did in my previous video is that I actually peeled a mango like an orange and just ate it using my bare hand. In one of my previous videos, and every comment's like, "This is disgusting. You're a monster." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." You know, just like eating that beautiful, beautiful.
All right, let's go ahead and go out on that note, Joe. Let's plug
real quick. I do have one last mango thing to add, which is next time you do a mango video, you should just bite in like an apple, just right into the skin.
I'll do it. I'll do it right there. Okay. I'll do it.
That's it. That's my last mango piece of advice. Not that you asked for my advice on anything, but...
Joe, if people wanted to wear the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Merch.t1podcast.com. If you liked what you heard and you want to wear us on your shirt, sweater, phone case, or pillow, or tote bag, or stickers, you know, what have you, it's all at merch.t1podcast.com. We sell them in all sizes. Merch.t1podcast.com.
Hey.
Also, guys, 6 cents... a day. If you have 6 cents a day to spare, that's how much it costs to subscribe to our Patreon. You get bonus episodes of the podcast, some of the funniest stuff, some of the weirdest stuff we've ever done, early listening privileges to episodes like this one as soon as they are done being edited instead of waiting a couple weeks, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat, and more. Go to patreon.com/t1podcast. 6 cents a day It helps support your favorite content creators, Joe and Lars.
Joe and Lars, your favorite content creators that host the first podcast.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Easy. Patreon.com/T1Podcast.
Moz, if people want to check out your stuff, what's the best way to do that?
Don't. No, okay. So it's youtube.com/TheAmazing. You can also check out my other social medias. All of them have TheAmazing, TheAmazing.
And for our American listeners, Z is Z.
Ah, yes, yes. Z-I-N-G, zing.
Joe, the tradition of you taking us out on a joke, I think, should live on. You got one for us?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a joke. All right, hold on. Let me see. Last night, I was laying in bed, and I remember thinking, if I were to do stand-up comedy again, that there was something... here's what it was. This isn't a joke. This is just something that I would do. I would have, like, a notebook out while I'm telling my one-liners, and I would be saying, hey, guys, I have my notebook out. I'm going to just write down, like, how the response is. Oh, okay. Especially if it's, like, to a fellow group of comedians. And I would tell a joke, and then if it doesn't get a good reaction, I would write down 10 out of 10. They loved it. It's not what...
Joe, I think that one was a 10 out of 10.
It's not what happened.
No, it's not. You're really only lying to yourself.